I'd like to welcome you all here today. If this is your first time here, welcome. If you're here with your mom, we're so glad that you've chosen to be with your mom and spend some time with us at Calvary Church. To all my beautiful moms, grandmas, daughters, and women of the church, we love you and we honor you today. We have left up our beautiful photo backdrop. Now, I mentioned that to some moms this morning, and she's like, oh. I know, women, we hate getting our picture taken. I do. I'm one of you. I'm trying to do all the poses. I'm trying to look thinner. I'm trying to smile and not look goofy. I'm trying to keep my eyes open when I get a picture taken. Those are all real issues in my life. But honor your mom today. Get your picture taken with her. Come on, dads. Be the photographer. Some of us, it's a difficult day today because we can't be with our moms. Maybe she's passed. Maybe she just, like my mom, lives far away. Maybe today is a struggle because you've desired children and you can't have them. Or it hasn't happened yet. We honor you today, ladies. God knows your heart. He knows your heart of nurture. And so I know today is Mother's Day, but today we honor all women here. You all have a place in his heart and need to be honored today. So as you leave today, moms, we have moms, women, daughters. We have a gift for you as you go today. So make sure you get your gift as you exit today. You know I can't be with my mom. We might want to put the, if somebody wants to pop up and close the door over the kids area, that would be great. I know that my mom will be listening later, and I would just like to honor her today. Mom, you've impacted my life. I am the woman I am today because of three women, my grandmother, my mother, and my sister. My grandmother found the Lord nearly 100 years ago when she was raising two small boys. She later had my mom and raised her up all the days of her life to know Jesus. So these three women, although all very different, have shown me how to love God, how to love my spouse, and how to love my family well. And I thank you. I thank you, Grandma, who's in heaven. I thank you to my mom, Jean, who's a very strong woman who stood by my dad in dark days. And I honor my sister, my mentor, who shows me in this day how to love well and how to honor my family. So I've already shared with you why Kent is gone, but I honor you, Mert, as well. You raised three godly children. You suffered the loss of one just 5 years ago. We pray for you today. We pray for your health. Thank you for raising Kent into the man he is. He's a blessing to others. And we thank you for that, Mert. All right, moms. I'm speaking to you today, but I'm speaking to the whole church. The word we have applies to all believers. So I'm going to ask dads, men, don't check out. Okay? I would ascertain, because we are going back into James, I would ascertain that James was a man who knew what we call the Old Testament. So whether it was the scrolls or the Torah, James knew. He knew what had been written in the days of old. For he follows so much of the wisdom of Proverbs In fact, James is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. It is how to live wisely. And today, we're going to learn the power of the tongue. So we're going to first look back on last week's verse from James 1:25. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James is teaching us wisdom. That we can't just be hearers of the word. We can't hear the Proverbs over and over and read them over and over and then not do them. He's shown us how to live wisely. And our verse today comes from James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but stops. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So with that, let's just ask the Lord to bless his word this morning, and the words that come from my mouth, may they be his. Father, we thank you that you give us the word of God to teach us, to grow us, and to learn to live by. I pray today that the words out of my mouth are the words from your heart to your people. And I ask it in your name, amen. So we use our tongues to speak. Both the Hebrew and Greek words for tongue, when translated, means language. So when we read the same verse from the English Standard, when we read that verse from the English Standard Version, it says bridle, that we need to bridle our tongue. And the NIV uses the word rein. We need to rein in our tongue. And the Passion Translation says to control. The verb form of the Greek word used here is to hold in check. So the Holy Spirit knew how much we would need direction on our tongue and what we speak, because he inspired James to write about it not only here, but we're going to get to the tongue again as we go through James in chapter 3. So today, when we focus on the tongue, being Mother's Day, I thought I would just focus on the positive impact it makes. Okay, so you're not getting the hard-hitting stuff today. You're going to get a little bit of the blessing that our tongue can be. Is that okay with you guys? Yeah. All right. So when I'm reading a lot of the scriptures I'm sharing too, I'm going to do just part. A or B might be behind. Not because I'm trying to take the scripture out of context. That is not my heart at all. But again, in a few weeks, we're going to be hitting the tongue and we'll get the A's and the B's together. Okay? I didn't want to bring you down on Mother's Day. And he has some very strong words about what we speak out of our mouths. So James 3:10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not be so. Our first point today is the power of the tongue to bring life. Your tongue can speak life. It can speak blessing. That's what it should be doing. So Proverbs 18:21a says, the tongue can bring death or life. And the language I believe we should always be using should be life-giving. When I started thinking about speech, it took me back to creation. I find it interesting that God spoke and creation happened. And we, being made in his image and in his likeness, I understand that we're not going to speak and things create in front of us. But we can create atmospheres and we can change things in people's lives by what we speak. So in Genesis, it goes like this. God said, and it was so, and he called it. He called it by name. He called it day. He called it night. And then he called it good. So can we speak into situations? Can we speak into lives and it becomes so for them? The power of our words, can it create life in someone? You know, just this morning, someone came up to me and asked for prayer because someone had spoke lies and negative to them. And they need the truth. They need the big T truth. So we prayed to agree in life-giving words over their life. I had the privilege for 13 years to serve as a substitute teacher. I'm just going to tell you, it takes a stout kind of person to be a substitute teacher. But in that time, I had many, of course, interactions with students on a daily basis. And one time, probably, I don't even know how many years ago, 8, 10 years ago, I was in the same classroom for 2 weeks. And you really get to know kids when you spend every day with them for 2 weeks. And this was in the high school. So it was a high school students who had trouble learning classroom. And close to the end of my time with those students, one of those young men came up to me and he said, I just wish I could be your teacher, that I could be their teacher. And I said, oh, that would never happen because I would not like you by the end of, you know, a month. So I was kind of like an evangelist, you know, you can come in, love them for a couple of weeks and then give them back. Give them back to their teacher. So anyway, I laughed with him or whatever. And he said, no, really. He said, I feel different in your classroom. I believe in myself in your classroom. When I say it was a privilege to be a substitute, there were hard days, but there were days like that. I couldn't speak Jesus to him like we talked about. I couldn't tell him about Jesus. I could if he asked me what made me different, I could tell him then. But the Holy Spirit went with me, and I could speak encouragement, and I could speak life to him, and I could tell him that somebody believed in him, even though he was different. Somebody believed in him, and he needed to hear it. And God chose me to speak life. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is the tree of life. The tree of life. By our tongues. Our second thought today is the power of the tongue to bring healing. Proverbs 12:18b, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I want to tell you a story about a little boy. And I don't normally, when I speak in so many stories, but today, it's Mother's Day. So this is a long-known story in my family, and I am changing the names to protect the innocent and the guilty. Okay? But there's this little boy, and I'm going to call him Joey today. And Joey was in kindergarten. And one day, the teacher asked all the students what their middle name was. And so Joey said, well, I don't know what you mean by a middle name. He didn't understand what the teacher wanted. And so the teacher said, well, what does your parents call you when they're mad at you? Okay? You all know what I'm talking about. So I was Stacy Renee. I didn't get the last name, but I was Stacy Renee. And honestly, I didn't hear it very much. I was a good kid. I'm just going to tell you. Okay. But anyway, so Joey then, he knew exactly what the teacher meant. And so he said, oh, you mean Joey, I'm going to use a softer version, dang it, Smith. Okay? That's what he thought his middle name was by the teacher's description, because that's what he heard so often when he was in trouble. What do you think he heard every single time from his parents, from the time he was little? Because let's just say, at this point, he's 5 years old. So at 5 years old, over and over, this is what he's heard. And I get it. I've been the parent of children under 5 years old. And at some point, we get exasperated. You know, may his parents laugh at the story and, you know, change and forgive themselves. But there's another story we hear as a children, and it's this one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That is a lie. Told to us by people who don't want us to feel what their words have done to us. And it's a lie. Words hurt all the time. It was a poem written to help deal with bullying. And our children today deal with more bullying than they ever did when that poem was written. They deal with it in social media. They deal with it in text threads, in TikToks, in all the things I don't even know that's out there. Snapchat. At school, they're laughed and bullied. And sticks and stones may break their bones, but words can crush them. Words can crush them. Proverbs 16:24 tells us that kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. Our words can bring healing to our kids. Moms, dads, you need to have words full of honey for your kids. They say that one negative comment takes five positive reinforcements. That's a 1-to-5 ratio. You don't know how many things your kids, your spouse, your friend has heard negatively throughout the day. And each one needs five positive reinforcements. Let your words be the healing people need. There's a book and a movie called The Help, and it's a story set in the civil rights era. And Miss Abilene tells the child in her care, you is kind, you is good, you is important. Miss Abilene knew that this child needed to hear these words as she spoke them to her. But guess who else was hearing those words? Miss Abilene was. And some of the words of kindness that we need to speak to ourselves. So I say to you ladies today, you is kind, you is good, and you is important. Just remember that when you're down. Mamas, you need to know that. You is kind. You is good. You is important. I encourage you to be people of kind words. Have a kind word for your child when he gets home from school. Have a kind word for your spouse when they get home from work. Have a kind word for your server. Have a kind word for the police officer who pulls you over. Have a kind word. Our world needs kind words Perhaps a checker who's having a bad day. She needs a smile and a kind word, and it might heal the rest of her day what has happened. You have the power to change that and influence people by what you say. So you remember our story about Joey? Joey had a family friend who always spoke kind words to him. He was a gentle, gentle farmer, about this tall, bald head, jovial. But to Joey, he always spoke kind words. And when Joey, later in life, in his schooling, was asked to write about someone who had changed him or who was always encouraging, guess who he wrote about? He wrote about George, because his kind words always spoke to the inner boy that Joey was. Kind words matter, and kind words heal a wounded soul. So our third thought today is the power of the tongue to diffuse. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger. I wish I remembered this verse of Proverbs 15:1 when I was a mother, because sometimes I matched anger for anger. I've had to forgive myself for the fits of rage. I confessed to you before, to you today, that was part of my poor parenting. And I would always catch myself later and think, why? Why did I do that? Why did I allow the enemy? Why did I not match his anger with a gentle answer? I would encourage you to get eye to eye with your kids and talk quietly to them. First of all, a quiet mom is a scary mom. I mean, if you get down and you're at the grocery store and you get low and you're eye to eye and you kind of whisper to them what's going to happen. But really, the gentleness, if we do not reflect back to people, first of all, understand that when people come at you in anger, whether it's your children, a spouse, a coworker, anger is a secondary emotion. What that person is more likely feeling is fear. They're feeling fear, and they react in anger. They might be feeling your child or someone might be afraid that a need is not going to be met. And so to get their need met, they rise up in anger. So our gentleness can deflect that anger. It can make a difference in the heart of the issue, because the heart of the issue isn't the anger. The heart of the issue is something underneath. Something is hurting, and hurt people hurt people. Did you catch that? Hurt people hurt people. So if you can live in gentleness, in kindness, in goodness, in graciousness, you can deflect the anger someone else is feeling with a gentle answer. I want us to look at James 3, 4 through 5a. Look at the ships. Also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Your tongue not only directs your life, for out of your heart your mouth speaks, but it has the power, impact to influence others' lives. So I got to thinking about this with the tugboat. The tugboat can move great ships. Have you ever thought about that? It's a much smaller vessel. And the rudder of that smaller vessel changes the direction of a huge vessel. It impacts it and influences it to go the direction that it needs it to go. That's the power of our tongue. You can impact and influence people in the direction that they're going by what you speak to them, by the language you use with them. The Message translation of the Bible says it this way: make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring about the best in others in a conversation, not to put them down, not cut them out. Colossians 4:6. So many, again, as a substitute, many of the classrooms that I was in had a poster on the wall, and it said this. It was think, and the letters went up and down this way for think. T-H-I-N-K. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it nice? Is it kind? We need to, with our own mouths, think before we speak. And that helps me think. Is it true? Is this really a true statement? Is it a God truth, not a Stacy truth? And there's a difference. God truths are big T. Stacy truths are influenced and impacted by my views. They're little T's. May my little T's always be actually God's big T's. May I live in his truth. Lastly, and maybe the most powerful use of the tongue, is to speak Jesus. Was that song powerful this morning? Man, God was breaking down things because we were speaking the name of Jesus over our families, over situations, over the powers and principalities that want to tear us down. We speak Jesus. You need to speak the promises and truths of God over your children. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful to breaking down strongholds. So in the Old Testament, what did they do? They wrote things on the doorposts. They had little, I forget what they're called, but they'd post them on their doorposts, their little metal. Has anybody been to Israel? I'm sure you have. Anyway, and when they would go out, they would touch it. It's a reminder to pray it, right? Speak the word of God over your children. I would encourage you, for each child, for your spouse, find scripture that you can proclaim over them over and over and over. Take the opportunity to use your tongue to declare to your family the faithfulness of God. Tell them how faithful he is. Show them how faithful he is. If you need to keep reminders of how faithful he is, I remember one time God gave us, through someone, a gift of $5,000, and like we took a picture of it and kept it to remember his faithfulness, that in our time of need, he provided what we needed. Do what you have to do. I, at one time, considered doing a shadow box so that my kids could visually see what God had done for us to take care of us. Deuteronomy 32:46. Take to heart all the words of warning I have given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children so they will obey every word of these instructions. I'm going to go ahead and have the worship team come up as we go to close. I just encourage you, church. You're given so many words a day to speak. You're given so many opportunities in a day to impact people with the words that you say. So speak the words of kindness. Speak words of gentleness. Let your spirit be gentle when you speak to others. Think before you speak. Is what I'm going to say helpful? Is it going to hurt? Is it true, or is it just my truth? Will it inspire them to something? Or is it going to tear them down? God wants us to be his voice to the lost and to the hurting. He wants us to be different. We need to live different, act different, speak different than the world speaks. Because we are different. We're his kids, and he's given us all grace that we need. I'm just going to have us bow our heads right now. I would hate to not take the opportunity, if someone is here today and does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, if you would just look up at me. I'm going to start on your right and my left. If you'd look up at me and let me know that you would like to ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Lord, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. We're thankful that you've given us that we are new creations in you. And as new creations, we should speak your voice with your tone of voice and the way that you would treat all of those around us. Check us in our spirit, Lord, when we talk to our kids. Let us be a mom and a dad. Let us be children of God who hear others and speak blessings over their lives. I just ask it in your name.